KVU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Charles Jordan Community Center in Portland. The Willamette and the Columbia Rivers provide sustenance, recreation, and economic benefits to our region. Yet these rivers are burdened with the legacy of industrial pollution and threatened with the future of toxic contamination. The Two Rivers, One City event will bring a broad network of river users together to share their stake in clean water. The event will include an overview of the various environmental justice issues related to the Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup and the oil by rail projects along the Columbia. Again, that's Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th at the Charles Jordan Community Center, 9009 North Foss Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kvu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine, and thank you for that music, Sam. Justice Begins with Seeds is the title of a conference scheduled for next Friday and Saturday, September 12th and 13th. It is the largest gathering in the U.S. focused on educational campaigns related to genetically engineered organisms. It is sponsored by the Biosafety Alliance. Also part of this event is a film series related to GMOs, and that's going to be at the Clinton Street Theater, and that's happening, starts this weekend. And here to talk about it is Miguel Robles, Project Director of the Biosafety Alliance. Welcome, Miguel. Thanks for coming in. And joining us by phone is one of the many speakers at the event. Claire Hope Cummings is an environmental and native land rights lawyer, author, and journalist. She is the author of Uncertain Peril, Genetic Engineering, and the Future of Seeds. Claire Hope Cummings, thanks also for being with us today by phone. Oh, she's not here yet, so okay. But in the meantime, we'll talk to you, Miguel. What is the Biosafety Alliance?
Well, we started this project in 2011. When in California the government in California, they issued permits to grow alfalfa and the sweet beets also, and GMO corn for ethanol. So we thought that we have to start something, and we were thinking, we've been researching, and we learned that there hasn't been any conferences. By that time, since 2004, was the last one, a small gathering about GMO presentations. So we decide to organize a large conference, and we invite, we've been talking with Vandana Shiva, with Ronnie Cummings, with Jeffrey Smith, Ignacio Chapela, Miguel Altieri, all the big names in the movement, and they were very excited about the idea. So we organized the first conference in 2011 to bring all these people, but also we learned that there was something going on in California. Some people was pushing for a proposition, the 27, to level GMOs, and we invite them to the conference, and we tried with this conference to create momentum. We have maybe 1,000 attendees. We have series of films. We have, it was amazing, was the first one. And since then, we have been doing the conference every year. Last year, we have it in Seattle to support the people from the initiative 522. They called me early last year, and they say, hey, it would be good if you can organize the conference here. So I organized it in Seattle. We have over 70 speakers. Vandana Shiva was the keynote speaker again. And now we are coming to Portland to support the I-92. To create more momentum, more education, and we're gonna have over 50 speakers. One of them is this amazing journalist and attorney and author, Claire Hope Cummings.
And I've heard that Claire Hope Cummings is with us now. We did introduce you earlier, Claire, but thank you for joining us now.
Hi, it's nice to be with you.
Thank you. And So I've been talking with Miguel about the conference in general, and you are one of the speakers. You are going to be speaking at a panel, I believe, on Friday, next Friday. It's called Building a Movement from the Ground Up, Ending Plantation Agriculture from Dole Food to Dow Chemical. Talk a little bit about how that relates to the work that you've done over the years.
Well, and thanks for having me on the air here with you. And Miguel has done a great job in putting together both all the conferences he's done. And this next week, I think we're ready, as people who care about food, to build a real vibrant movement and bring together so many different parts of society. So it wouldn't be just people who are maybe active in the farm aspects of it or even in the food aspects of it, but everyone eats, so everyone needs to have they have a role in both creating the kind of food system that they want to have and in resisting the kind of food system that has come up. You know, we have this idea of the plantation, which was, you know, goes way, way back. You know, you can just sort of think about the sugar plantations, the cotton plantations in U.S. history. And that's the wrong kind of food system, right? It's based on slavery. It's based on the exploitation of the land and people. And in Hawaii, the reason we talked about Dole and Dow is Hawaii, of course, was changed from an indigenous food system, a healthy food system that fed everyone who lived there, to this other system where 85 to 90% of food eaten in Hawaii now is imported, so they're not even feeding themselves at all. But also, they've devoted the land to this plantation agriculture, so as they eradicated the indigenous people, they put in sugar plantations, pineapple plantations. That was the Dole Foods part of it. And as that economy, as all plantation economies eventually do fail, started to fail, then Dow Chemical and the chemical companies came in, and now Hawaii is sort of ground zero for the genetically modified organisms that we find in almost all of our foods. The seeds are grown there, the experiments are done there, and you know, there's much to talk about why that is and how that is, and the kind of, I gave you a quick political economy history of it, but basically, people need to understand that this is a chemical industry looking for more ways to use chemicals in our food and in our farms, on our farms. And so what's been happening in Hawaii is these chemicals are getting into the soil and the water, and people live near the farm still there, and they're being contaminated. And they're starting to grow a movement. And the movement, I'm really proud to say, is not just the activism we sometimes see here, as good as that is, where you're marching and petitioning and even the litigation, but they're regrowing their food system, and they're starting with a whole new vision for trying to both resist the things they don't want and then grow the things they want. So that's what the growing from the ground up is talking about. And I've seen this now. I've been covering this as a journalist for about 20 years, and also I was a former USDA lawyer. You might have mentioned that. So I've seen this issue from so many different sides. And while so much of what we engage in social change, we've made progress, but we've also not really reached our goals. So I've recently been looking at how we can go about building better movements, being more effective, and really making the change that we desire so deeply for our children, for our families, and for our communities. So that's what we're going to be talking about at the workshop.
Mm. And there was a ruling in the last week or two in Hawaii, in Kauai, right, that kind of was a little bit of a setback?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a really interesting fight there, and I want to emphasize we shouldn't do, which is get the military metaphors out of our struggle. I think that I was involved with the first identification of the field practices on that island. And in my book, I actually have two chapters about Hawaii, because that movement there has been, as I described, very effective in many ways. And there's some great stories about how people would go and sleep overnight outside the council meetings, so that they could get in and testify about what was going on. It was basically the, it started with the poisoning of a school in Waimea, on the at the community where Captain Cook first arrived in Hawaii. Exactly where the first contact happened was right where this, these chemical companies, Dow, DuPont, Monsanto, Syngenta, are poisoning the fields and the communities there. And the kids were literally, you know, we're talking nosebleeds, we're talking about they couldn't breathe, they were going to the hospital. And in California, and I don't know about Oregon, but in California, you can't spray pesticides next to a school. So it was like a basic protection that when I was going there and working with the Hawaiians, I said, I can't believe you don't have that protection. The GMO crops and the chemicals, some of them very, very dangerous chemicals, were being right outside the windows of the schools, if you can imagine that. So the community did rise up and say, we don't want this. And then we want to be told where they're growing these crops and what's going on. So they were able to, at great cost, I mean, the work they did to get that, and this is a small island and we're talking a handful of people, they were able to pass some legislation banning the use of some of these chemicals. But mostly it was, to get, you know, it was just information. And being able to be told what was being used around their, where they live. And the chemical companies have been fighting it. So this ruling basically is a setback, but it's not the end by any means. The lawsuit's going to go forward. And I think that given the given that there are, you know, and I actually started 30 or 40 years ago in agriculture with the with this anti-pesticide movement, which continues alongside the anti-GMO movement, because like I said, these are chemical companies. This is actually about agrochemicals in our food supply.
You're listening to Claire Hope Cummings. She is one of the speakers at the conference that we're talking about in this interview, the Justice Begins with Seeds Conference, happening next Friday and Saturday here in Portland. And with us also is Miguel Robles, who is with the organization the Biosafety Alliance. He is the project director of the Biosafety Alliance. And this conference, I want to mention that we have passes to this conference and to the accompanying film series here at KBOO's front desk. And if you come by the station during regular business hours, basically weekdays 9 to 5 or 9 to 7 most days, you can pick up your pass to these events. So thank you for that, for making that available, Miguel. And tell us more about the scope of the speakers, the scope of what people will experience at this conference, because it is pretty incredible with all these names.
Well, it's very important. For me, it's very important the issue of pesticides and toxics. We're going to have Kim Lebel from the Northwest Center for Alternatives to Pesticides. We're going to have Lisa Arkin from Eugene from Beyond Toxics. They're going to be talking about what happened recently in the in certain counties in Oregon, where, for example, in you see what happened in Eugene, that they spray in some place neonicotinoids and it killed thousands of bees or hundreds of thousands of bees. This was a huge scandal. And so we're going to have people talking about pesticides. A lot of people is very, very concerned about the colony collapse disorder. But we're going to have also people talking about solutions, you know, about alternatives, not only about the problems. It's why I like Claire Hopkins, because she has a vision of change in the best way. And we are encouraging through this conference people to become proactive, not to become activists, but to become proactive in an issue that concerns to everyone. We've been talking about shirts and jeans. People don't know that they are wearing GMO, you know? People don't know that they are drinking GMO when they are drinking a soda. It's GMO corn syrup. And people don't know all these implications from when you buy a shirt that it costs maybe $2 in the U.S., inexpensive. It's coming from China. And they don't know that the cotton is GMO cotton that's coming from India, where 250,000 farmers have committed suicide and to Monsanto. So everything is connected to GMOs. If you think in the footprint, Claire was talking about the how much food the Hawaiians consume from other places. And it's the same in California that produce 50% of the fruits, veggies, and nuts that the U.S. consume. They, for example, in Santa Barbara County, 95% of the food that they produce goes to the East Coast. And they produce it with cheap labor, you know, farmers from Mexico, and they send it to sell it expensive in the East Coast, you know, New York and all these areas in the winter. And 95% of the food that they consume in Santa Barbara County, they bought in pesos in Panama, in Mexico, in Guatemala, and they sold it in dollars in Santa Barbara County. So it's double. But if we think about the footprint, you know, and it's the same with all the GMO corn that is grown in Iowa, in Kansas, in Missouri, in all these areas, and they have to transport it. And they are no producing food. They are producing ingredients for junk food. They are always talking that they're going to feed the world, but they don't want to feed a healthy humanity with junk food. And we're going to have, for example, people from Mexico talking about the moratorium on GMO corn and what is the how they push for this moratorium under the precautionary principle, because if they lost they have 59 races of corn that have like 1,000 varieties. And for this, all these different varieties of corn, we have one of the most important gastronomies in the world in Mexico. That is actually named World Heritage by UNESCO, by the UN. And what happened is that if we allow Monsanto, Syngenta to grow GMO corn in Mexico, what's going to happen is that our native seeds are going to go extinct. But at the same time, all the different meals that we can prepare with these different varieties of corn, because you need different kind of corn to prepare pozole than tamales, than quesadillas, than tortillas, are totally different varieties of corn. And Monsanto is growing four varieties of corn, you know, that are for junk food or for ethanol. Mm. Or to feed animals. Like I believe that 50% of the GMO corn goes to animal feeding, 30% for ethanol, and 20% for corn syrup. So when they say that they are producing food, it's a lie. You know?
Well, I think that one thing that's really exciting about looking at the range of speakers that you have at this conference is that there are quite a number of speakers that look like they're speaking about environmental justice issues and bringing in a variety of perspectives from different cultures. And I think that's a very exciting aspect of your conference.
And also corporate accountability, you know, we have to criticize the system because the system is run, not the people. We ignorance is not bad, you know, it's just part of how they have planned this system just to control us. So it's not our fault to consume GMOs. It's our ignorance. It's why a lot of people is demanding labeling, you know, the label in GMO food. But I think the main problem is the system, how it has been established in the government.
You're listening to Miguel Robles. He is the project director with the Biosafety Project. And we're talking about this conference. One thing I realize we haven't mentioned is where the conference is, what days and times, and how people find out about it. So do you want to mention that, Miguel?
Yes, it's going to be at the First Congressional United Church of Christ that is located on Park Avenue. The address is 1126 Southwest Park Avenue. First Congregational United Church of Christ. You also can go to biosafetyalliance.org to see that we have all the information there. And we have from September 7th until the 10th at the Clinton Street Theater, we have 8 films, two a night. And we're going to have Genetic Roulette, Symphony of the Soil, Queen of the Sun. This is a beautiful film about bees. We're going to have amazing films, and we have free passes, free tickets today, tomorrow. You can pass by
Yeah, on a weekend it's going to be a little hard, but during the weekdays,
still today, on Friday, you can pass by and pick up some tickets for the conference and for the films. Also, you can go to biosafetyalliance.org and you can send an email to us and we can put you in a list also.
Okay, biosafety.org is the website.
Biosafetyalliance.org.
Oh, biosafetyalliance.org for information about the different speakers, for times, and for registration. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring you in again, Claire Hope Cummings, in this interview. What do you think is important to emphasize about the conference in the time that we have left in this interview?
You know, I really loved listening to what Miguel was saying and what you pointed out, which is that there's this emphasis on a variety of cultures and environmental justice. So I'm going to try to talk about how our social strategies need to be more embedded in natural strategies and how seeds, for instance, as a metaphor, teach us about this diversity. It teaches us resilience and adaptability and generosity. And these are the values that we need to rebuild this food system. So maybe it's been heard before, but I like to think of it as putting the culture back into agriculture. Because when we were working with that plantation model, it was all about profit and about what we now, the industrial ag people, this globalized system that Miguel was describing is all about a reductive or, you know, the simplest, whatever we can do, what they call efficiency. And we don't want efficiency. We want ethics. We want ethics and morality and values to be brought back so that all of our stories, wherever we come from, I love listening to the stories of corn. It's actually what brought me into this movement in the first place and my work with indigenous people. And this idea that we have this culture, and if we can embed our both how we eat, you know, how we share food and buy food and think about food, but also our activism in the idea that we all have stories to bring to the table, then I think that you know, we'll have a much more heartfelt and better time doing the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. And the whole issue of Oregon right now, you mentioned it, Miguel, the importance of this conference in relationship to the upcoming ballot measure. How is that going to play out at the conference?
I think it is very important because I think that we have had three different propositions and initiatives the past 3 years in the West Coast. The California Proposition 37, we lost just for 0.5%. We have 61% from Latinos in support, 52% in support from African Americans, and only 42% from whites. Mm. Was really hard to digest because they spend most of the money promoting the proposition among English speakers. But in Washington we have very bad experience with all the Grocery Manufacturers Association. Actually, they violate the law, you know, funding their campaign against labeling. But here, I think that we are in very good situation right now. I think that the Oregonians have already reached this stage of consciousness and awareness in which they can really, really change the situation. And we could see it in Jackson County. We've been doing, I did 8 presentations with 4 scientists in April to support them. And in May 20, they vote to ban GMO plants in Jackson, in Josephine County. And I think that was the start of this campaign, the statewide campaign for labeling. And now I think that we're going to win here in Oregon this year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the first state in the West Coast that's going to pass the labeling.
And the ability to fight that incredible amount of money that Monsanto and other corporations have, that's going to come from people power?
It's why I am talking that the Oregonians have reached this awareness and this stage of consciousness that is going to defeat any kind of misinformation through mainstream media. You know, they can spend a lot of money, but the people is already educated, and they saw that that was possible in Jackson County, in Josephine County, they just gonna vote yes, and they gonna support it. You know.
And so many other countries already have labeling. What is this industry afraid of?
Over 60 countries in the world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
actually.
Why not let us decide for ourselves what we eat? It's such a basic human freedom.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, in my book, too, I talk about the history of how the industry came about and how the regulatory system was rigged. As a former government lawyer, I can speak to this fairly, you know, personally. I saw it happening in the Reagan administration, where they went about very consciously saying we're going to have this new, very radical technology, biotechnology, but we're not going to have any laws to govern it. And certainly, I think the biggest tragedy is that we really don't have any good science, that we're not asking the right questions about what it's really doing to human health and to the environment.
That's Claire Hope Cummings. She is an environmental and native land rights lawyer, author, journalist. Her book is Uncertain Peril, Genetic Engineering and the Future of Seeds. She is one of the speakers at this conference, Justice Begins with Seeds, happening next Friday and Saturday at the First Congregational Church. Also, the film series happening at the Clinton Street Theater starting Sunday. Is that
this
right?
Sunday?
This Sunday, and going through Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday the 10th. A lot of good films to be able to see there. We have free passes here at the front desk at KBOO if you want to come by and pick those up. Thanks to...
For what? For the conference and for the movies?
Great.
You have free passes.
Thank you for that, Miguel. Thank you for coming in. Miguel Robles, who is an organizer with us, he is with the project director of the Biosafety Alliance. Thank you so much for coming in and talking
thank
about this.
Thank you so much for...
And thank you, Claire. Thank you for being with us also.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to next week.
Okay. And again, if people want to get information on the whole event, they can go to...
Biosafetyalliance.org.
Okay, and we have maybe 1 minute. Anything you want to say at the end, Miguel?
Well, I just want to thank Claire Hope Cummings and all the amazing speakers that are not charging any money to come here to the conference. That, I think that is the nicest part of the conference. This kind of conference, when you go to the websites of the organizers, they are charging $400, $500, $700. We are charging 1 hour of the people's wage. If you make $10 an hour, you can pay $10 an hour at the door, or you can buy your ticket for $15 if you make $15. You know, it's the most inexpensive. We want everyone to come. No one will be turned away for lack of funds. We have hundreds of passes for free for the movies and for the conference. And if you don't want to educate yourself, I don't know.
Well, hopefully people will take advantage of this. There's some, you know, great speakers, great film. So,
over 50 speakers.
Yeah. Okay. Miguel, again, thank you very much. Thank you, Claire. And good luck with this work. This is Kathleen Stevenson. Pardon?
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. And so this is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the KBOO New News headlines and then moving on. And this program, if you missed any of it, it will be available later on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Rain for grain, sun and rain, find my way in nature's train. Tune my body and my brain to the music of the land.
Inch by inch, row by row.
Plant your rows straight and long, temper them. Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love and care.
Love and care.
Old Bro watching hungrily from his perch in yonder tree. In my garden I'm as free as that feathered thief.
Inch by inch, row by row.
Inch by inch, row by row. Gonna make this garden grow. All of
takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Till the rain comes tumbling down.
Inch by inch, row by row.
Get to know your candidates for the 2014 KABU Board of Directors.
Deep end.